Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Dusty, the answer to your damn question is yes.
All right.
Yes, I did. I did, baby.
I don't know if it was a question or a statement.
I don't know what it is.
Definitely wasn't a question.
But it was the topic that everybody was talking about on Saturday night. It was the topic that I got texted to be umpteen times yesterday.
Mac
people wanting to know the answer, and the answer was yes!
I just want to win, Jim.
Exactly right. So, wonderful event on Saturday night, a successful BMA event. Shout out to everyone involved. Your wife included won best performance.
Yeah, she did. She was awesome, wasn't she?
Even though you had sandbagged.
That's right. Had one gentleman tell me it was sandbagged and I rigged it for my wife.
Immediately when it's over, some Richard comes to Bob and goes, way to really sandbag the event.
Yeah.
Was he being serious?
Oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, your 10th anniversary, so you sandbagged it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So your wife could win. I said, yeah, that's exactly what we need. This guy introduces himself to me. He goes, I lived in Brookside for 20 years. And I live in Boston now. And you sandbagged this event for your wife. And I'm like, okay.
Your cousin from Boston. So
Matt, this is what we're going to do tonight. All right.
Yeah. So Jen killed it. I'm not trying to be biased or like that. Obviously she won the award. She looked amazing. There were seven other people involved. And one was a former Chiefs cheerleader, so put that on your resume, Jen. And, you know, they do the award or whatever. I mean, the whole place, like, going, you know, we're blowing whistles. I hadn't blown a whistle. I don't know.
Do you guys want to tell people what you're talking about for listeners that maybe don't remember?
Yeah, okay. Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And so, Classic Likens had a few Millers. We had a tower.
Oh, yeah, you did. You definitely had a tower. My dad's like, were that all his? He goes, there was a guy, like a bald guy, that just kept bringing Dusty beers. I'm like, that's Maloney.
Yeah. So after Jen does her dance or whatever, you know, Bob goes out there, and he's emceeing it for the event at the BMAs. And the whole room goes silent for about 2 seconds. And I decide to stand up and yell as loud as I possibly can, Esco's getting laid tonight.
I think you said Bob.
yeah. And of course, the whole place, you know, kind of like, you know, has a, you know, a laugh, a disgruntled, oh my God, did he really just say that?
Yeah.
And then, yes, the questions filled in the next day for Bob, like, hey, congrats to Jen and everything. But to Dusty's question, to Dusty's statement that he made,
yeah everybody wanted to know. But it also became the theme of the evening too. You know, the dancing with the stars, judges from the show picked up on, like everybody was talking about it.
To hear somebody in a foreign language say, "That was a really nice dance, Jen. You really nailed it, the handstand." And then at the end, is Bob going to get laid? And
that was Emma who had the beautiful voice like that.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit more feminine, but yeah. It was really funny.
Yeah.
And then another guy said something about it, and he looked like Bruno Mars' cousin, but was ripped. And he's like,
Clap, man. Yeah.
And yeah, that was fun. That was definitely probably not my proudest moment, but it worked out okay.
No, everybody loved it. But that's what that event was about. You doing something like that, and that's why it is so much fun for everybody. We raised, as of Saturday night, and the final totals are still coming in, $768,000 over the evening.
Wow.
For Kansas City. And the cool thing is, all that money stays right here in Kansas City. And I mean, there were so many great people there as well. I mean, it was a litany. I told Jen, I said, this is like 90% of the people that matter in our lives that are inside this room, you know, watching her dance and do her thing. And, you know, when she did that flip or whatever it was, man, that was, I mean, I was speechless. And I did. I cried. I broke down. I'm so proud of my wife. And, you know, she's probably done more things to make me proud than I've ever done, even close to make her proud. Like when she did her first marathon, I was the proudest guy in the world for that. And then she did Dancing with the Stars. And by herself, I think she's going to raise close to $80,000 when it's all said and done, which is really remarkable. And she did such a great job with that. I'm so proud of her and so proud of everything that we've done with the BMA Foundation. And I'm glad you got to experience that, because most people go to these, you know, events and it's the rubber chicken circuit, we call it, and it's the same thing. People get up there, give a speech, make you cry, donate money, leave, right? That's kind of not our deal. And you know, there's a little of that mixed in, but it's everybody dancing. It's a party. It was wild. And I was just telling you, that was the most wild event we've put on. The second most wild event that we put on with the BMA Foundation. The first one was the one right after COVID in like June of 21, where nobody had been out of the house for 18 months. And we were like the first event. I see Dusty face. Like, oh, I can imagine what that was like. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a bleep show to all sorts of levels.
Everyone's tolerance is much higher.
Yes.
Been locked up for 18 months, yeah. Just drinking cases of wine.
Yeah. So everybody. But it was raring to go. That, like, people were going crazy that night. But you know, we had 800 people in the building evening, and we raised so much money for so many great Kansas City Foundation charities and whatnot. But man, I gotta give a shout out to my wife. She was just wonderful.
That was great.
In that dance competition. You're right, she won it fair and square. And you know, the Dancing with the Stars people, the cast, they choose, and I have nothing to do with
she
that.
She got all 12s.
Yeah, she did.
Dang.
Her husband was emceeing.
Yeah.
One of his best friends is the guy that puts the whole thing together. Coincidence?
Yeah, I think not. No. But she earned
who
it.
Who knows?
Yeah. She definitely awesome. Earned that thing. I mean, the flip.
Jerry fell.
Everybody,
we all were ready to go mouth to mouth.
I mean, yeah. Like Jerry scary. Starts doing the, what did you say in the text to me yesterday? You said moonwalk the floor sit or something. Yeah. Like it was, he's moonwalking and then just goes down.
No, he did the standings.
Bringing some cherry
moonwalking
pie.
Moonwalking to just face planting.
Yeah.
But no, it was, it was great. It was like I told Mac and you this morning, it was like an end of a season episode where I finally met all of your group of people.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can knock them all out. Tammy was there.
Right. Mm.
Cactus was there.
Yep. Ryan from
Giants. Cactus was there. Emily was there.
Right.
She was riding shotgun with your boy all night.
Gotta love Emily.
And then, Jerry's there.
Right.
Jay's there.
Right.
Let's see. I already say Tammy from the West.
Tammy from the West was there.
Ralph was there.
Our guy Maloney.
Maloney.
Let me tell you how Ralph introduced himself.
I love Ralph. Okay. What did he do?
You talking about going from like an egotistical high to an absolute scare for your life moment? never met Ralph in my life. And we're sitting there and some guy just comes up and Alex and I are there. Gold was at the event as well. And we're both
We need
there.
To get to him in just one second, okay? We got a lot to talk about with
Alex.
So
we get there. Oh, Diane's there.
Yeah.
Yes, Houston.
And so this is how my night starts. I want to be honest with you. This is how my night starts. I walk in with Jen's parents, and we go up the escalator. I then run into Alex, talk to them. Then this guy comes up and goes, hey, can I get a picture with you guys of Alex and I? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, this guy's all, okay, cool. Yeah, he
sweet.
Recognized
listener,
us.
Awesome.
We're not in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And we take a picture with him. And then in my ear, from behind me, I get this. Hey, what's up? My name's Dick. And I was like, I'm like freaked out, dude. I turn around and there's this tan bald guy in a suit with sparkly shoes. And he's like, what's up, man? I'm Ralph. I'm like, that's how I meet you. Like,
that's the perfect literally way to meet Ralph. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. And then I meet Bob's parents right after this. And Miss Fesco is coming up to me and she goes, I watch you guys all the time. You're much better looking in person.
I'm not surprised.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm ugly on TV.
That's awesome.
So yeah, no, it was a great event.
And that was 7:30. And like nothing had even started yet. Yeah. Or 6:30, I guess. Maybe even earlier than that.
Yeah, so that was great. And then the evening ended, and then Alex got hit on.
Yeah, by everybody. Like, literally every woman in the audience wants Alex Gold.
You know me, the single guy. That's right.
Yeah. I'm the single guy at the station. Like, every woman is trying to set Alex Gold up with somebody they know. Some people tried to set him up with people too old. Some people were trying to set him up with girls that were too young in his age range. Like, I have never received more text messages on a friend with just different females saying, Alex is so good looking. Can we fix Alex up with somebody? Alex needs a date. I mean, who's going to go with Alex and all this kind of stuff? I'm like, my God.
Alex Gold's got a real big dinger.
Yeah. he has got an army of women trying to set this guy up, set him up with anybody.
Like, such a smooth ride.
I mean, they should call them like Alex Gold's Army or the Goldettes or something like that, because these gals are lining up to fix Alex up with people. I mean, it is crazy. My wife's friend flew in from Florida. She's 77 years old. Shout out Susan. She's like, I may come back just to see Alex again.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Gold. That's awesome, man.
But I also took Alex home. So,
Alex Gold's got a real big dinger. I'm not sure I'm sober in that audio. Good night. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, I hope you guys all had a good time. And so,
how was Sis's wedding?
Oh, it was incredible, man.
Yeah,
it was
speech?
Fantastic.
Did you say yes?
I did not. Yes,
Yo,
said yes. Actually. Only speeches at the rehearsal dinner. So everyone that was, bridal parties, gave speeches.
Is that in the
back
room at the Applebee's down there in Ottawa?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Actually, Ottawa, super cool. It'd be a sidebar, but really cool historic place that we stayed in. Oldest cinema in the universe in Ottawa. Pretty cool.
You B&B'd it, right?
What do you say? We B&B'd it. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Is it BRBO or...
I don't know B&B. What we're calling it.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
I just say so Airbnb.
But yeah, no speeches at the wedding. My brother officiated it. It was beautiful. Nice. I think I cried the most. Probably. Lots of dancing, lots of laughing. It was awesome, man. It was fantastic.
What was their wedding song? Do you remember?
I don't. I remember crying towards it because they were singing it to each other, bro. I can't help it, man. I'm an emotional guy.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, Maloney texted me the other day. He goes, I'm a crier too. I'm glad to see you crying up there. You know, I'm like, yeah, real men cry.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, that's my
Have
little sister,
you ever
bro.
Cried after sex?
After sex?
No. Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal looks like that guy. That was so beautiful.
But yeah, man, couldn't have asked for a better night. It was fantastic. Sad I missed the BMAs, but obviously.
I like how we're calling it the BMAs now. Like, it's an awards ceremony. Yeah. You know, it really is. I mean, it was a wonderful
event. Sounds
awesome. Yeah. The sad part is now we've got, that one, and now everybody's going to expect it to be that again. And it's all about the dancers and who they bring. And we had a great crop of dancers. Shout out to Julie Sano, who put the whole thing together, too. That's Jerry's daughter. Did a great job with that. Shout out to Jerry and Mary Ellen as well for putting this on, and just everybody that was there, and the Westin and Chad and his folks over at the Crown Center complex. It was just a great, great, great evening. It's too bad, like, I-35 was closed on Saturday. I don't know how people got there, but we did. We figured it all out. So great weekend for everybody. And like, this is one of those weekends where you need a weekend to recover from the weekend,
Yeah.
I'm glad that you said great weekend for everybody, because it was not a great weekend for everybody. Those Royals, we will discuss on the other side what is to come and what has happened over the last 6 days here on 96.5 The Fan, your own Kansas City Sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well on 96.5 The Fan. Happy Monday. Very muggy, very thick out there. You could cut the humidity with a knife or a golf club later today at 4 o'clock.
You playing today?
I'm getting back out there.
You get out there today?
Yeah.
Got a little of the bug with Warren Spahn winning the Cy Young Award yesterday or whatever the hell that was.
That was the
United
Open.
States. So I saw Pittsburgh. I thought Skeens. I thought Cy Young. Here we sit with Warren Spahn, right?
Enough. No, because Spahn actually won. Skeens would just shoot 8-under and still somehow not get support.
Victory, he'd be removed after the 17th hole and they would not finish or something
that's
like that.
Cameron.
And that's not a shot. That's not Noah Cameron's fault. 83 pitches. We're pulling a guy who was dominating yesterday. That doesn't make any sense to
me. We can just address the elephant in the room. A very, very, very terrible way to have a homestand. Not one win. Absolutely outscored. Can't put up any runs. Continuing to struggle. And then yesterday kind of hurt. I think yesterday was like the balloon popping.
Yeah.
For everyone. Again, off day today. We'll see what happens. We were told by Annie Rogers via X that there was a players only meeting. Bobby Witt Jr. was one of the people who spoke and basically said, hey, here's the deal. We're better than this. We're not this bad. We need to do better. And then apparently Mark Canha had some things to say to the team as well as like the kind of the veteran.
Yeah, the 10-year guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got his pension. Good for him. Congrats to that. But again, I heard Vern say this last night on his On Deck show or his postgame show. You know, players talk, winners play. You know, like you can talk it all up you want, but when you play the game, that's where you win the game. So like talk is cheap until you can win the games. And then the offense continues to struggle. They had the two games, or I guess the three games in St. Louis. Since then, it's been bleak. Haven't won a home series, and I couldn't tell you how long. I think we've had Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Yeah, we've had both because it was the beginning of May. Yeah.
And then you lose six in a row at home. That's one that I think is every once in a while you have these moments in your season where you have to just you have to own it on the chin. And we talked about this. You know, I don't know what the players' meeting did. I don't know if it got anybody. I don't know if anybody got fired up or if it was just one of those somber little talks. Obviously, nobody else is in there. And then you have the offense that continues to struggle. And I brought this up on Friday, and something's got to change. And I think today will be that day. I think, you know, unfortunately, I don't ever want anyone to lose their job. But you've told everyone you're a playoff team. You're, what, 2.5, 3 games out of a wild card spot? You got 12 teams in front of you, it seems like. Got a lot of hopping to do. And, you know, it ain't going to be JJ going out. It ain't going to be Q going out. But I have a big hunch that we see some information about the hitting coach today.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do something, then yeah, today's the off day. It's that type of thing. And quite frankly, you know, I'm not a fire the coach, fire the hitting coach type of guy, but you've got to do something at this point in time. It's embarrassing right now with the way that they're hitting the baseball. And I don't think anybody else would argue with that. That's not taking a shot. That's not being negative. That's being honest with ourselves right now. And they just can't hit when it matters. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why that is. I do think it's a systemic thing. And that's why I said on Friday, and I'll continue to say it, their approach, I'm not a big fan of with all the analytics. Sometimes we just got to take all this stuff away and just allow guys to go up there and play baseball and see ball, hit ball, and pretend like you're a kid all over again and use the talent that God gave you. The talent that God gave you to play baseball is better than anything a nerd can give you in a meeting room about what this pitcher's going to do. Go out there and utilize your talent. Your big league baseball players, go out there and hit. Go out there and put the ball in play. Go out there and make contact with the baseball. You're capable of it because you're in the big leagues. And so that's why I always say it's never really, to me, for the most part, on the coaches. The guys have to go out there and execute. But if the coaches are filling their heads with too much stuff and they're swimming in their own thoughts, you know, we've all been there, right, Dusty? You and I have talked about this on the air and off the air. We get inside our own heads a lot, you know. And maybe that's happening with baseball. And the hitting coaches, for the most part, are supposed to be therapists. You know, what can I do for you type of thing? And so maybe they just need a new therapist in there to kind of figure things out. But the average shelf life of a hitting coach is about 2 years in Major League Baseball. So we'll see, you know, what this organization decides to do, how they decide to move forward. But right now, man, something's got to give because it's not really good right now. And then you go to the players-only meeting. Those are lame. Unless you're meeting at Henry T's as the KU basketball team in 08 and win a national championships and having that meeting, that's fine. But I don't see these players only meetings ever amounting to really much of anything. It's guys airing their grievances. And then we saw the direct result of the players only meeting on Sunday, which was kind of a, you know, not a great effort, if you will, from an offensive standpoint. They managed to score 2 runs and they got swept by Sacramento. You can't get swept by Sacramento and be considered a playoff team. And we were there yesterday. And I'll tell you what, the game ended, everybody stood up, and the whole place started booing. Ooh. And I think that's good. I think boos are good right now because that means fans had expectations that were given to them by the team, and the team isn't living up to the expectations that they set for themselves and for the fans, and the fans are right to boo. I thought it was very therapeutic to hear the fans booing the team yesterday.
I don't necessarily think players-only meetings are lame, but they're awesome when they work. Like the Ibanez one was, we praised one, but then this one didn't work, so we immediately go to the other side. This again was Bobby Witt Jr. on that players only meeting.
I think it was good. We needed to have that. Things aren't going the way that we want it to be, and so we have to talk about it. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you gotta talk as a team. We're a family in here, and so families talk, and so that's what we did, and we got to just figure some things out.
Why was now the time?
Because it keeps going on over and over again where it's like, oh, it's going to come, but no, it hasn't came, and so we have to figure something out. We have to change something, and so the time was now.
Did any one player spearhead this meeting or anything of that nature?
Yeah, it was kind of everyone. Everyone spoke their voice, and yeah.
Just offensively, talking about hoping it comes. What's the stretch been like for you individually and as a team?
Yeah, for me, it's been not good. And so I got to look at myself in the mirror and say, what do I need to do? And I just need to get better. It starts from me. And that's honestly something that when I'm going, things are going better. And so I just got to get back to being myself. And so I'm not trying to put pressure on myself, but just really just trying to go out there, be comfortable and confident and enjoy the game. And so that's what I want to get back to doing. And it's frustrating that I'm not doing what I am capable of doing and doing it very poorly. And so I just got to get back to be myself.
Yeah, how do you do that, though? That's the million-dollar question, right? Like, he understands what he's doing. Like, yesterday, Bobby had a big hit early on. They scored a run. I'm like, okay, that's your star being a star. And, you know, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And we've discussed this over the last week. In sports, your stars have to be stars. And if your stars aren't stars, then you're not going to have an opportunity to win those games. And Bobby was a star for a little bit yesterday, got a big hit, drove in a run, you know, give yourself some breathing room, get a little bit of a lead, and then obviously it dissipated, but it's got to be more than just a base hit here or a base hit there, and everybody else has to contribute as well. This team right now, I don't know if you saw the numbers, 6 in a row, they've lost 8 of their last 9, and they've lost 22 of their past 32 games. I mean, so this isn't a one-week thing. They've won 10 games in the past 32, and that no matter how you slice it, that ain't good. And you know, it really is. The pitching's still been very, very good for the most part, but the problem is when Schreiber, or whoever, I guess it was Schreiber yesterday, gives up that home run to tie the game, and then you know you see them win it in the ninth. They only scored 3 runs yesterday, so now you're asking your pitchers to be almost perfect out there on the mound, and we know how hard that is. It's hard enough to pitch at the big league level. It's even harder to have to go out there and be perfect and not allow any runs because your offense can't score, and so the pressure's on everybody right now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Schreiber. yeah, I mean, that just hearing that audio over the weekend and like kind of like picking it apart, knowing that we were going to talk about it today, just seems like a very, very frustrated superstar. And I don't think Bobby's that guy that's, you know, like you've seen in the past with like maybe your Juan Soto's or your Jamar Chase's, that he's not that personality, right? But he's more so, you can hear it in his voice. Like, mm-hmm. When I'm going, the team's going. Everybody knows that. It's been very frustrating. It's been, you know, you can hear pressing. You can hear that it's not just with Bobby, it's with everybody. Because when Bobby's breaking like that, that's your strongest piece on your team outside of Salvador Perez and maybe Vinny Pasquantino. And when they've been affected by this, there's something that's not right. And again, we've seen this all the time, and I brought this up on Friday. In 2022, they fired Terry Bradshaw. His replacement was Alex Umwalt, who is the current head hitting coach for the Royals. And the reason they got rid of Terry Bradshaw was because of the two main points were lack of offensive production and lack of home runs. Has anything changed in
no,
that category?
No.
Right? And I know there's a lot of people out there that are upset with Q. Not his best move, in my opinion, yesterday, pulling Noah Cameron.
Yeah.
It immediately resulted in that home run. And it's 83 pitches.
It's 83 pitches, and the guy's been dominating bat. I mean, you look at like the numbers that he's putting up. It's like historical what this guy's doing. He became the only pitcher in baseball to do something yesterday. You know, like limiting runs over 5 innings or whatever. Like something like, damn, this is the only guy who's done something like that. And after 83 pitches were taken, this is why I have a problem with analytics, because that guy was cruising yesterday, and some nerd said it's time to get him out of the game because some equation added up, and so they pulled him out of the game with 83 pitches yesterday. The guy was not tiring. Now, yes, it was a little hot and humid out there yesterday, but do you know how many people in Cameron jerseys were around that I saw? And they were all going,
really?
Why are they taking him out? Yeah. Like all his family and friends were wondering the same thing in the crowd yesterday.
Yeah. He's the first pitcher in the last 125 seasons to go 5-plus innings and allow 1 or 0 runs in at least 6 of his first 7 career games.
Yeah, it's a bad managerial move yesterday. It is. And those happen. And not everybody's going to be perfect.
And I kind of also put that on the whole team is pressing. You're overthinking things.
Yes.
You're trying to do things that you don't normally necessarily do because you're under pressure. And I don't think, I don't guarantee you this, but I would wonder if you could give Q that situation 10 more times how many times it's the same.
Yeah.
And I know that hindsight is 2020, and you know, maybe Schreiber goes in there on another day and mows him down.
Yeah, and if Schreiber does his job, nobody's right. talking about it either. You
but
know?
The problem is that there was a guy already doing his job.
That's right.
He was pitching a shutout. There's a man on. Mm-hmm. Two-run homer comes right after that. And not only that, but like your best pitcher in June has been Angel Zerpa.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that Zerpa's spot? Why is that not Lucas Ercik's spot, right? Why is he coming later? So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, and I'm with, you know, I'm with the fan base. It's frustrating.
It's frustrating, yeah.
And not only that, but now you go to Texas where you don't traditionally win very often.
No.
Then you play the Padres.
Yes, that's right.
And then you get the Dodgers. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but it was announced yesterday, Shohei Ohtani is pitching again.
Woo!
So all that dog so poo excited. That I talked on this guy about, well, he only DHs, eat some crow, Likens.
Yeah, this guy's back. He makes his first start this week and will probably
today,
pitch.
Right?
Is it today?
It's tonight.
I think it's tonight.
Tonight.
Is it tonight?
Debut again.
Hang on a second. Yesterday was Father's Day.
Uh-huh.
There was no NBA. There was no NHL, right? Which is irresponsible on both of those leagues'
Blunder.
Parts. You played on a Saturday night in the NBA. The only reason I saw is because we were still riding high from the BMA Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We got home and saw the rest of the game, right? So no NHL, no NBA on Sunday. It was kind of a dead sports day, if you will, for Father's Day. Yes, U.S. Open, Sunday Night Baseball, whatever you want. And then tonight, we've got NHL, NBA, and Ohtani pitching. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Three TVs.
Like, what are we supposed to do in this situation? Like, you're giving me everything at once. No wonder I was a fat child. Here's all the food, Bobby. Go eat.
NHL tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're not going to watch Shohei Ohtani tonight.
Oh, is it a 9 o'clock start?
9:10 against San Diego. You ain't watching.
All right. Okay.
How about that? Right.
Well, there goes that segment.
Yeah, never mind.
So that the overreaction to that was an overreaction Monday.
You're a bigger buzzkill than Buzz Killington.
You really are, man. It's a bigger buzzkill than Jerry Fallon the other night.
Oh, that might have lit the place up. Actually, watch that video if you're having a day. Strawberry pie. Yeah, strawberry fall. All right, let's get into an overreaction Monday. Mac, take us away.
Also, just on the Royals, the A's had lost 14 straight road games and 24 out of the last 28. Anyways.
Before coming into Kansas City.
Yeah. Yes.
You're the best, Mac. I appreciate you so much, man. Thanks for taking me off the throne of Mr. Buzz Killington.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and one other thing, the A's haven't won since Carter was president, and they moved six times, and they beat the Royals in three straight games.
Just adding some context.
Yeah.
Pacers lost the finals on Friday night.
Yes.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's over. They were up 2-2, they would have been up 3-1. They were up 2-1, and they were up 10 or 12 points with 5 or 6 minutes to go. It felt like they had controlled that whole game. It's not like that game ever had a rhythm. We'll get into the refs later on in the show, but yeah. I don't think it was necessarily one-sided. I just think it was terrible. I think there was no rhythm or rhyme or reason.
No, it was a ref show.
It was an absolute ref show. But Scott Foster said, let me upstage everybody.
But even Indiana had a 10-point lead still in that one that they blew,
they did.
Right?
They blew it.
Yeah, they blew a 10-point lead, which, by the way, I'm going to ask you guys this. Like, what is the safest lead in sports anymore? I mean, the Chiefs were up like 28 in a playoff game. You've seen how many teams up 20 in an NBA playoff
Chiefs
round?
Chiefs are down 3 with 13 seconds left.
Yeah, Chiefs are down with 13 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, there's no safe lead anymore. Hockey, you're up 3-0 and losing 4-3. What is considered a safe lead in sports? I don't know that there is one anymore.
When you're winning with no time left.
That's exactly it. That's
zeros.
It. That's it, man. Like, you want to leave these games early and check out early and you know, think these games are over and you don't want to watch anymore because somebody's up 20. Hell no, they're not. These things flip on a dime. And Indiana was up 10, and before you knew it, there was a tie game, and all of a sudden Oklahoma City was taking the lead. You tied that thing at 2, and now you've got what they want, a pivotal game 5.
Huge game 5.
This is the biggest game 5 that we've seen in quite some time. It's a pivotal game 5. And, you know, the pendulum swings one way or the other. The winner of this game normally wins the series, I think, 72% of the time.
Yeah.
So tonight's winner most likely will win this whole damn thing.
Yeah, if the Pacers lose tonight, they're not going to be able to win 2 in a row. So, yeah, I think tonight's it, and they lost the finals on Friday night. Sucks. You know, it's there was no – there was one touch foul, and then someone get clobbered in the face. No call. There's no rhythm, no rhyme or reason. It sucked.
Pacers.
The NBA's got an issue.
Yeah.
Pacers in 7. Hopefully.
Dusty, what do you got?
Two things. Found a new band that I absolutely love.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. I need somebody and always. This sick, strange darkness comes creeping on. So hunting every time. I seek a best at home time.
We're in Spanish now.
todas las telarañas me atrapan y yo te voy a hundir más. Like indecision to call you and hear your voice of treason. Would you come home and stop this pain tonight? Stop this pain tonight.
Yeah. So do these guys have an album? Because when I sent this to you, it was just one song. I don't know if they have an entire, like, discography.
They have a bunch of stuff.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's Blink-182.
Yeah. That was great.
They got Free, Pay Their Delilah. They got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I got, like, five different DMs via Instagram or Facebook from dear friends of mine that were like, have you seen this? You're a huge Blink guy. What do you think? Dude, I was bopping to that.
I love it.
It was really good. It really is.
Vicente Varese Sunday. I cannot sleep. It's like we went from two different languages in one song.
I thought it was great. Really well done by those guys.
I mean,
seriously.
Honestly, you want to learn the Spanish tongue, just have Blink-182 songs in all Spanish.
Yeah.
And I'll be fluent.
That's true.
Know? But you won't know what you're saying.
No
most
doubt.
Of the time.
But that was one. And then Alex Gold's a genius. Alex Gold is a dear friend of mine who got me into card opening and, you know, ripping packs when we went to Springfield to see Jack Caglione. I then picked his brain, said, how do you do this? How do you get these cards? He's like, well, you go into these things on Fanatics Live. You go in these breaks. I pulled a one-of-one PJ Milando card, who is a prospect for the Miami Marlins. He was the 16th, I believe, overall pick in the 2024 draft, the same draft as Caglione, whose card is just through the roof. Hopefully it stays that way at 213.
And back to Omaha.
But no.
Damn, I should have sold.
And so I got it, sold it, and collected a little over $4,000 for a card.
Ooh,
so
$41
on a card. So yeah. Alex Gold, whatever he touches is gold.
Yep.
Alex Gold is the golden standard. Listen to Gold's betting advice. Listen to Gold's life advice. He will get you paid and possibly get you laid.
No, we tried. We really did.
It was a shock. I'll never do it again. It was a lucky pull. It was,
heck yeah,
you know, a one of one. They're rare as can be. Sapphire, pinkish, whatever it was. I don't even know. And Alex happened to be in the room when it happened. We freaked out together.
That's cool.
But yeah, it was a cool moment. And I didn't know how insane the card game was. But yeah, it sold. And hopefully get paid in the next couple of days.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this.
That's exactly right.
Get lucky.
Yeah.
That's all it is, man.
It really is.
Blind squirrel right there,
exactly.
Dude.
Exactly. That's people like, how do you do this? Luck is all it is. Most of life is, anyway. So my overreaction is the Rafael Devers trade that took place last night. Devers will be complaining in 3-2-1 because the Boston Red Sox. And I like nothing from the city of Boston, right? The Boston Red Sox may have pulled off the greatest, like, up yours trade of all time. Rafael Devers wanted to be traded because they signed Alex Bregman to play third base, and they were going to move him to first base or DH. Wanted no part of that. I'm a third baseman. Trade me. Fine. They traded him yesterday to the San Francisco Giants behind 5-time Gold Glover Matt Chapman. It's like the only other place that has a Gold Glove third baseman that's been there forever. That's where they sent Rafael Devers for four players. So I love the thinking of the Boston Red Sox by doing something like that. I love the Giants still going out and acquiring him. I'm going to know he's probably going to be a first baseman. So my overreaction is this thing is going to blow up in the face of Rafael Devers and the Giants, and he will be complaining before week's end because he's not playing third base in San Francisco. The Boston Red Sox legitimately said, fine, you don't want to play first base here. Well, you're not going to play third base anywhere else. We're sending you to the Giants. Welcome to your wishes. And as they like to say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Be careful what you wish for.
Would you rather play in Boston or San Francisco?
San Francisco. Yeah, I think the weather's better, first of all. I'm a West Coast guy. I like the West, even though I grew up on the East Coast, which is weird. I love the West Coast. I think Boston is a very, very tough city to play in. And if you're not hitting .500 and making a play every single time, it's very, very hard to play there. So I think San Francisco, you can kind of get lost in the lifestyle out there. And people aren't as hard on you in San Francisco as they are in Boston. Mm. Now, I will say, if you talk to anybody from the 14-15 run with the Royals, the worst crowds were San Francisco. And some of the stuff they tried to do to the bus and beat up the bus.
Like, the Bay would be cool, but, like, the advantages of being in, like, that, you know, northeastern area during, like, the fall outside of football or outside of baseball season. It's like, oh, okay, I just, you know, go to Martha's Vineyard or I can go to, you know, a Patriots game or I can live. I don't know. I've always been envious of the Upper East Coast just from all, like, the, like, food-wise, I mean, you can't really lose. San Francisco slash Massachusetts. It's like, you're either eating crab cakes or eating, you know, bomb, you know, tacos and stuff like that on the West Coast, dude.
The weather in San Francisco,
not a question.
Summer doesn't start in Massachusetts till July.
Yeah, you're either in King's Landing or the Wall. Yeah. There's really no in between, right?
I mean, it really is. I mean, like, it doesn't start till July, and so then it ends on July 5th, and so then you're, you know, back to winter. So I would take San Francisco. Summer's definitely here now.
We got 90s this week, boys.
I mean, you talk about cutting the weather with a knife out there today.
Tomorrow night we're supposed to get storms, and it's like the last rain. Now our grass is all going to be brown. We're going to wish we could mow again.
Is that what there's like the last rain for what, years?
That's what I heard. Like, we're supposed to get, there's a chance it could be like a severe storm on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning early. And then after that, it's like bleak.
It's just
90s, hot.
I went out and watered the grass yesterday, and the dirt is already starting to crack, right? And I'm like, we just had rain like 3 days ago. And so I'm like telling my wife, like, look, the land is already starting to, you know, spread apart. You can see the cracks in it and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, we got to continue to water, man. Got to keep that grass looking good, because we've invested a lot into this thing right now, and we want it to look good. So, that's where we are. So it goes from like drought to deluge, whatever it is.
Sure.
And then right back to drought again. Right back to drought. So here we are again. Rain, please.
No. Pools, summer.
I wish every night it would rain. Yeah. My dad had his first surfside yesterday at the Royals game.
Yeah?
Really impressed.
Okay. You liked it?
Yo, good. How could you not?
Tea or lemonade?
We had the tea.
Nice. Yeah. They're both great.
Yeah. I brought surfsides over for stepdad and dad. Both enjoyed. So, yeah. Because my stepdad's a Coors Light drinker. And he goes, I'd really love to try one of those Surfsides I always hear you talk about. They must be good. All I hear is you talk about Surfside. And I was like, yeah, they're amazing.
They're really good.
Strawberry lemonade. He's like, ooh, this would be good on the patio. I'm like, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, thanks.
So it was good Father's Day for both of you guys then?
Yeah, you as well?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you had dad in town, right? Everybody
had Father's Day? One of the best Father's Days I've ever had. I got to go to the Royals game with my dad and my kids, man. Like,
that
I
is awesome.
Never get to that. And my wife and mother were there as well. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Father's Day. I got to be with my dad. I don't remember the last time we spent Father's Day together, so it was awesome.
Perfect.
And to have the kids there was fantastic. And then Delaney stepped on her ice cream sandwich and got it all over her leg, and then the ice cream sandwich was gone.
Always,
but it was two cookies. It was fantastic.
It's always some weird stuff, man.
Yeah, the dog puked grass all over the kitchen table for some reason when he decided to get up there and let it out.
Yeah, I don't know what the dog did over the weekend. We kind of lost track of her, too. But no, I mean, Delaney, and then she steps on the ice cream sandwich. It flies up all over her leg. And and she goes, I was telling myself, do not step on this ice cream sandwich. Do not step on this ice cream sandwich. She steps on the ice cream sandwich. It goes everywhere.
Stephen A. Smith, back in the news. We'll discuss. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20, right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Things you love to see from the 615, because if you guys talking about it on the radio, I crushed Surfsides all weekend for Father's Day, kicked back in the kiddie pool with my wife and kids, and we just drank Surfsides.
Nice. That's a hell of a Father's Day weekend for you, man.
Yeah, because it was muggy yesterday. I mean, it was all weekend.
It was, man. Yeah, at the ballpark yesterday, it was hot. Shout out to the nice usher who put some nice chairs out for my parents in the shade, too, yesterday.
Oh, that's
the kind of customer service you get at Kauffman Stadium, man. Way to go.
My stepdad went on Saturday, and he was like, it was so hot because it was a 3:10 start.
How hot was it?
He bought one of those towels that you can put around your neck.
Yeah.
And he said every time the beer vendor guy came down, like every other inning or so, he'd be like, hey, man, can you dump a little water on this? He'd take his like ice bucket and dump it on the towel, throw it right back on his neck. He's like, lasts about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I was just saying,
it's so hot.
Don't last very long. But what about those fans have you seen these neck fans that people wear around their neck where it kind of goes around their neck? And it's got like two fans, do those things work?
I don't know. I have seen them.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do they work? I have no idea if that's something that's worth investing in for something like that. I would say no.
It's like headphones. But they're fans,
kind of thing.
I'm cool with it, no pun. If that's what you want to do, because I mean, there is nothing worse than being hot.
Yeah,
I'd rather be cold than hot. That's just straight up stand on that 24/7,
100%.
So Stephen A. Smith on the phone,
What the hell was that about, man? Like, it's
always something new with that guy.
Like, man. Like, he has to understand right now, and I'm sure he does and doesn't really care because his retort was very interesting. Like, I was doing it during a break or whatever. Josh and I had always talked about for years, like, watching an NBA game. It really was KU basketball at the time. Every reporter is buried in their computer at the time. Nobody's paying attention to the game. And how do you report on a game or cover a game when you're not paying attention? I know this is the generation in which we live, and I'm not trying to be, you know, the old man here, but Stephen A. is under the microscope right now. I think a lot of people are paying attention to what he has to say. And when you're at an NBA Finals game and you're caught playing solitaire on your phone during the game instead of watching the game, A, it's not a good look for the NBA, really. Like, you're boring this guy who's at the game. You're boring the gentleman who's at the game that has to do a show afterwards about it.
He's paid $100 million to do this, and he's still bored?
And he's still bored by watching your product. And I think, Mac, you have more of a take on it than I do because you're like, this guy needs to go. Like, you think he's killing the league. I personally think differently. I think that, you know, next to, like, LeBron James, we don't talk about anybody affiliated with the NBA more than we do Stephen A. Smith. And so I think he's good from the league in that sense. But if you're not paying attention to the game, man, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, I think you're right in that he is talked about more. If you just looked up like tweets, like it'd be LeBron James and below him would be Stephen A. Smith as far as NBA tweets. I agree with that, but I don't think the attention that he's bringing is good. Yeah, sure, you're talking about the NBA, but when you talk about Stephen A. Smith and what he's talking about the NBA, it's talking about the lack of physicality or, oh, how Michael Jordan was better. Oh, the 90s were better. Oh, the glory days. Oh, my gosh, you know, Tyrese Haliburton isn't a superstar. SGA isn't as good as Allen Iverson. It's like, okay, well, actually, everything that he's saying about the game is degrading today's product when we have a mass amount of talent in this league and a really good product. That was a great game on Friday night, a fantastic nail-biter game. He's playing solitaire during and then lied about it, saying it was a timeout. I think the attention he brings to the league at this point is more negative when I think there are a lot of positive things. You want your representative of the league to say, to give you reasons to watch rather than give you reasons to say, yeah, I'm glad I turned it off.
I mean,
it'd
be like Dick Vitale sitting there playing games during, yes, you know, the game or whatever. First of all, let me ask you guys, when was the last time you played solitaire? Like, when computers first came out and everybody had solitaire on Windows 95, like, that was a thing?
I have the app on my phone.
You do have it? When was the last time you pulled it out and played it?
Probably airport in route to New Orleans.
8 months ago. Or whatever it was.
I mean, it's just there for whenever there's like that lull.
That little time. Like,
okay, I don't know. In the middle of an NBA Finals game, though.
But I do love solitaire.
I mean, it's
especially
fine.
When you win and all the cards,
and all the cards jump. Yeah, that was always cool. We got the win. Like, yeah, we won. That's how everybody learned how to play solitaire on you know, Windows 95.
I think this was a miss on Stephen A. Because if he's always degrading the NBA and he's playing solitaire and he's caught, you could use all of that as fuel to your theory.
Well, we haven't seen him at 8 o'clock yet this morning on ESPN. He's got to address this, right?
I imagine.
Oh, it's about him. He will, for
right,
sure.
Right, that's a good point. Good, yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Low hanging. You know?
But I'll tell you what. I think you and I were ahead of the curve, Mac. When we declared in my backyard that day that this ESPN product sucks.
Trash.
Awful for the NBA.
Yes.
And again, we're comparing it to the gold standard of everything,
of
right? But it's not even it's not even like the bronze medal at this point in time. It's like,
not really watchable.
They were disqualified because they fell down the hill. And everybody is now picking up on that. Everybody is realizing how less of a product ESPN's NBA coverage is than TNT's.
Well,
it's night and day.
They knew they were so bad, they went and stole TNT's
group. That's a fair point. Yeah.
Can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, Stephen A. Smith's going to ruin that too. So just get ready for that.
Or they're going to ruin him.
He'll show up on that show, and
he
will not.
That's going to be one personality versus four, and that band's not breaking up. That band will stay together and stick to
their
roots.
Those guys will all walk up and just let Stephen A. stand there on the set.
Because the day they let Kendrick Perkins do anything with that crew is going to be a burial.
Yeah,
that'll be a one and done. And, I mean, then they'll put – I mean, you'll have to pull Kendrick Perkins off that show quicker than you pull Noah Cameron.
That was pretty damn fast.
I mean, because I mean, they're gonna roast him, and then they're gonna try to put Stephen A. in there. And I know Stephen A. is gonna stand his ground, but it's gonna get to a point where it's like, dude, they're just gonna keep sticking to their stuff, and you can come in there and yell and shout and scream and give your awful opinions about the game that you don't like anymore, but yeah, you're addicted to, and you're still.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Solitaire? That too. And that the Knicks aren't in the finals.
Yeah.
And that's why you're really sour. And now you're going to have these guys coming. Because I would say that the most thing tweeted about the NBA is the crew on TNT.
Yep. Fair. You're right.
And then
even
I would
more
say,
than LeBron, you think?
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
Well, yeah, a lot of people just have
don't tell LeBron
shut
that. LeBron Rogers is going to get really mad. And Aaron James.
Aaron James. There were some errors.
I mean, you seen that LeBron inserted himself into the conversation the other day with whether or not he's going to retire. Yeah, narcissistic.
Coming up on the other side, it's not the coaches. The Royals are in a really downward spiral. And plus, there were fans booing. That's never a good sign. We'll get to all of it on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.